For those of you that don't know, I attend a wonderful house fellowship. So we meet in a home and we just come from different areas within the city I live in, and all ages, different families, married, divorced, kids, no kids, older, younger. And it's just everyone across the board. And it's a real joy to meet together in a home with and to eat with a group of believers. Today we're talking about Philippians and going through what verses stood out for us individually. And one that stood out for me was what I want to talk about today, and that's about life. Philippians 2, 15 and 16, there's a part of the verse that says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, shine as lights in the world. And Paul says how to do it in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. So if we're surrounded by wickedness and perverseness, be a light in the world. But he says how to do it. There's one definition of that, and that is to speak life, to speak the words of life. So I want to help you maybe make a commitment in your life to think about, you know, we're in a wicked and perverse world. We know that, a wicked and perverse nation. The answer to that back in Paul's day and still to this day to the believers was be a light in the world, speak life. There are more reminders throughout scripture. Are we speaking death or life? In Proverbs 12:18, it mentions the thrusting of a sword. If we're speaking, we can speak as if we're thrusting a sword into someone, or we can speak health into that person. So health, again, that shows us life. So remember, Jesus is the life, and the word of God, what we're given, the bread of life to read, to study. When we have that on our tongue and in our hearts and running through our mind, we have life running through us, and that is health. It's all things that Christ wants us to have. There's this concept that we as Christians begin to understand more and more, coming from an ungodly world where we're raised in, where we get the message that nobody wants anything good for me, and certainly not God. And then we understand who God really is, and we read the life-giving words of the Bible, and then something starts to click, and we start to say, wait a minute, if I'm cooperating here, I'm receiving all the things that are good, and God does want good things for me, and maybe I just wasn't cooperating, maybe I just was in disagreement, maybe I was rebelling against it, maybe I thought I knew better, maybe I thought I knew God. So we are in a wicked and perverse nation that has those beliefs and lives on those beliefs, and those beliefs lead to death, death of the spirit, death of the soul, and eternal death if the person isn't saved. And so we can also live in a house with people that aren't saved or that have wicked and perverse thoughts. We can have our own wicked and perverse thoughts that are either spirits that we have not cast out, or things of the soul that we haven't healed. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we see what's coming out of our mouth, we can look at our heart and we can see that this is how people in my life know my heart. They know my heart based on what I'm saying. What was it that I just blabbered online on some comment online on Facebook or something? What did I just do? Did I say something scathing? Did I say something accusatory? Did I say something to bring someone else down? Was I critical where I could have spoken life into a situation? Was I critical in my marriage? Was I abrasive? Did I react in a certain way? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But a loving heart produces a gracious tongue. We're feeding our own spirit with what the spirit loves, which is life, which is itself, a testimony of itself. The Holy Spirit gets to soak in its own truth. In Philippians 2 also, Paul is telling us, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Maybe just adding, you know, when we think on those things, we speak on those things. So really speak on those things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. And I look through Philippians as I was looking through today, thinking about some of the things we confess out loud with our tongues, even against ourselves, making negative confessions about ourselves or making negative confessions about our situation. Paul is so joyful even though he's imprisoned. And when he says I, he doesn't speak of I very much. He's speaking of the Christian and the brethren very often, but at times he'll say I, he'll refer to himself. He says things like, I press toward the mark for the prize. I can do all things through Christ. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. So what can we do specifically if we want to commit to speaking life in the way that Paul decided to? Paul decided to speak life to the brethren instead of complaining. So his report wasn't about his suffering. I did this. I suffered this. I overcame this even. It was more, I trust, I believe, you know, speaking life into them and through the situation that they were all in. So what we could do is soak in Matthew 5, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 13, and again, Philippians 2. And then really watching, of course, the words of death that come from other people. So if we are watching the news or watching conspiracy things and into that material, that is speaking death into you and your life, and you're hearing that. So if things are speaking the truth and it's followed up or it's with words of life, then that can help to let you know what's going on in the world. But a lot of the conspiracy information is not rooted in the word and is not giving us any sense of where the life is, where we can find the solution, and that Jesus already paid for it and that he has a plan and we are a part of it. So also those around us that are speaking death into us. If we have people that speak death into our lives, then one, that's the devil tempting us to speak death back to that person. Number two, it's not being able to set a boundary with people that do that, that do not have the same value of speaking life. So if someone says that they're Christian, but they're not speaking life into you, then there's a problem. There's a level of study that they aren't committing to. And if they are committed to it, then they're trying and they're getting better, or they're apologizing and they're correcting themselves. But if this is just the way that they have you accept them, then that's a problem, and that's something that you have to set a boundary with. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips is something that you can pray to yourself. That's Psalm 141:3, or you can pray for yourself. Something that can be the absolute biggest sticking point with a Christian is where Jesus says, you have to leave your family behind and take up your cross and follow me, walk with me. We're afraid to close those doors on our old self, on the old man, and walk with him. If we do not make that choice, then we still stay around people that are not speaking life into us. If we do make that choice, then we become surrounded in one. We're following Jesus, and he's always speaking life. That's what it means to be his disciple and to take up your cross and follow him. You're leaving all the other stuff behind. You're choosing him. And so you're just naturally with being Christ, you're going to be around other people who flock to him also. Sometimes you have to make efforts to make that happen too. And that's a progression in your life. This is what Jesus does, is he takes away our insecurities. He takes away our shame. He takes away our introversion. He gives us the authority to cast out devils if we have to change our behavior so that we don't have devils speaking through us and attacking other people through us. That's our responsibility as Christians, to come against anything that's happening within us. We want to be using words to build other people up and to give grace to those people. But here in Ephesians 4:29, Jesus being the way, the word, the truth, the life, you know, the one that gives us eternal life. When we're Christian, it's about life, and it's about receiving life and life abundantly, and it's about speaking life. And the more that we form our commitment to walking with Christ and our responsibility even as we read the word, as we want to soak it in and become it more and more. Now, if you came from a family background where people only spoke death and you just learned to survive through your tongue and things that you had to say, and you learned to be quick, witty, have a comeback, whatever it was that you learned, even something aggressive, something passive aggressive, and there's going to be some unlearning to do, and there's going to be some unlearning to do if there's really, really deep trauma and deep injuries in the soul that are deeply layered in there, very, very, very hurtful. It's going to take some time to accept the life-giving words of other people. We might not accept it from other people. We might just get it from Jesus first, which is who gives it anyway. So it's really good for, you know, he came to bind up the brokenhearted. And so he's given the brokenhearted this word where the brokenhearted might not trust anyone else. They're just finally trusting Jesus. And they know the perfection of Jesus, or they're willing to trust it and get to know him. And so a shy person, a hurt person, a traumatized person can start by reading the word and receiving life from the scriptures, and getting that to circulate, getting that memorized and starting to circulate in. You know, for me, I don't consciously try to memorize anything. I start to know it as I hear it repeatedly, and I start to know certain scriptures as I study and as they're important to me, and that's just how study is. So you can do it either way. Some people do memorize the scriptures, and Bible colleges, you're taught to do that, and that can be helpful too. So whatever way it works for you, the point is to get it into your system so at least it's circulating with some of those other negative thoughts. It's starting to cycle through. Maybe every third thought is life. And then you get to where every other thought is life. Boy, even that is a huge thing for many, many people in this world. And so the more thoughts that are life means the more words that are life. The scriptures do enter our heart, and that's where the love comes from. So that's where we see the Christian love in the people, that this stuff has entered their hearts. And it's really a blessing to be around people whose hearts are full of life, and they've been through some things. People that have life in their hearts and they're able to speak it, to me, it really shows me that it's not just because they had an easy life and they can just speak life. It's because they've been through some things and something has cracked open in them, that these words have entered a deep place within them because this deep place was hurt. And we see this gift that they're giving, that they've taken their life and they've turned it around so that now they can bless you and now they can bless me. And you don't even see their hardships. If you dig a little bit and ask them, they'll maybe tell you, or maybe they won't focus on much of it at all anymore. They just won't. Paul calls us to not look back and to be reaching forward. Many people will be speaking life in a maturity in their faith without really looking back too much anymore into what it is that they went through. And that's another way of speaking life, is speaking what is now rather than, again, in Philippians, that we were talking about Paul, he wasn't looking back and saying, oh, I'm writing this from prison and I just had this happen. And boy, you know, all the things I came from to, you know, when I was Saul, I was persecuting all these Christians. I did all these terrible things. He wasn't focusing on that at all. He was just looking forward, and he was encouraging the believers to look forward. So we have all the letters that we have that he wrote to study. So we can use that example of how did Paul speak? He had a lot to say about what he did wrong. No, he didn't. He had a lot to say about Jesus. He had a lot to say about the brethren and what God can do. And that was his choice. And he was speaking life, and he chose not to speak death. So I would encourage you, if you have things that you've gone through and things that you regret, that you can give the gift of life to all your other relationships, that you don't have to dwell on those things with them. So you take that to your counselors, you take that to whoever it is that you, a confidant, friends, we are there to share things with each other, but to the depth that we would with a counselor, if we have something really heavy to say, we don't want to be bringing that to all the people in our life, and we especially don't want to be consistently bringing it to them over and over again. We have something to heal if we're doing that, and we also want to have a boundary with people that are choosing to do that, and we may need to speak a little correction into their lives if they're doing that to us. So if there's someone in your life that is saved, that is speaking death about their life over and over again to you, it's good to refer them to the scriptures about speaking life and some ideas of what they can do and why that's important. And then moving ahead so the relationship can be life-giving on both sides. And that's something you learn also in fellowship. That's something you learn with other Christians, with other interactions. And you can learn so much with a spouse. You can learn so much with a child. But outside your day-to-day family life, it's really good to be in interaction and relationship with others, other believers too. So you see how you interact and you see how they interact, and you can practice speaking life with people that care about speaking life also. It's very reinforcing to why God sent him, why it's such a gift that we have him. There's so many blessings that we get from what he's given us. I would love to hear any comments you have about maybe a commitment you want to make to be speaking more life. Some things that you notice or beginning to notice, or you're going to start to notice now. Anything that you've changed in your life that Jesus has done in your life since, as far as how you speak, since you've been saved, anything you'd like to share, I'd love to know. This is such a gift that he's given us to have life, and we can be operating in life here in this world, even if the world is wicked. We still have the word of God to speak into this wicked world and into the ears of those that we love all around us. And the more that we study it, the more that we know it, and it enters our hearts. And so out of our hearts, our mouths speak. God bless you. I hope this really blesses you today. It's blessed me. And I thank you for listening. I will see you in the next message. Bye for now.